Know your church fathers. Tertullian is known as Asia's first Christian theologian. He came from Assyria and studied under Justin Martyr before returning to prepare a path for the gospel into Western Asia. He wrote A Harmony of the Four Gospels. It was the primary gospel text in Syria throughout the 3rd and 4th centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched. This is John Kratz. I am filling in for Todd today, and it has been a joy to talk about developing a working knowledge of the Bible. I don't want you to become a master of Bible trivia by putting into practice some of these things that we are talking about today. I want you to be a master of putting the Bible to work in your life. Listen to these words from James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Here's the warning, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That is so important. You've got to put the word to work in your lives. In fact, my normal podcast is called Integrated, where we're putting the truth of God to work in our lives. And it comes right from James 1:22, to be doers of the word. We try to take a little bit of theology, some element of God's truth, define it, defend it, but apply it so that we kind of develop our muscles and putting these things to truth, to work. I've compared it to, you don't want to just be the muscle-bound person flexing in front of the mirror. You want to have functional fitness in your life. And that means knowing the Bible in such a way that you obey it and do what it commands you to do. Didn't Jesus say something about, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? So obedience to God's word is the way we show that we love Jesus. So that's really important. All right, so let's now get practical. All right, I'm convinced I need to know my Bible better and I need to put it into practice in my life. You've got me reading my Bible day by day and developing a habit of Bible reading. But what are some other big things I need to know to really getting a working knowledge of the Bible? Well, let me say that you're going to have to know something about the big picture, the flow of the Old Testament and the flow of the New Testament. Sometimes it's called progressive revelation. God revealed himself in a pattern. So do you know who came first, Joseph or Jehoshaphat? Do you know which event came first, the Exodus or the Babylonian captivity? Do you know the difference in these things? Now, the Bible's a big book. It's going to take some time to figure these things out. But after you start getting into a rhythm of Bible reading, you do want to kind of read it in order to get a sense of the flow of the story so that you now have hooks to hang the different elements of the things you're working on. So I suggested that you read Ephesians every day for 30 days. I heard John MacArthur say that one time, that that's a good way to start to get to know the Bible. And that's great. But what do you know about the city of Ephesus? Where is it? Why does it matter? Did anything else happen in the city of Ephesus? Does it show up any other places in the New Testament that might be important to recognize? Wow, well, you can read about Paul's ministry in Ephesus in the book of Acts. You can read about Paul's great charge to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. Not only can you read the book of Ephesians, you can read 1st and 2nd Timothy, which were written to Timothy while he was ministering in Ephesus. and in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, one of the seven churches that Jesus gives a direct message to is the church in Ephesus. We actually know a lot about the situation in the church in Ephesus and what was happening in that very strategic, important city. And so you want to get some sense of the flow of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In addition to just being a Bible reader, there are books that are like big picture story books of the Bible that kind of give you the flow, or Bible surveys. Some of the study Bibles, like the ESV, the English Standard Version Study Bible, the ESV Study Bible, or the MacArthur Study Bible, two of my favorites, also have kind of the big picture flow kind of articles about some of those things. And that can be very helpful to know how to hang your hooks of what you're learning on. It's kind of, somebody compared it one time to a skeleton. It says you kind of have to have your spine before you can kind of attach the different ribs, and the different ribs show up connected to the spine at various points. If you have no spine, the ribs are just kind of in a pile there on the ground. And so you kind of have to know your spine before the rib placement will make sense. Okay. All right, that's enough of that. There's also within the Bible different types of literature. Sometimes people call it different genre of literature. There is narrative. Do you know most of the Bible is narrative? What does that mean? It's Bible stories. Lots of stories in the Old Testament, but even the Gospels, which tell the story of Jesus, who he is and what he did. There's a lot of story element to that. The book of Acts is the story of the early church. So that's great. If you like stories, there's lots in the narrative section of scripture. But then you get to places like the Psalms, and you go, this is different. This hits different, as the kids say. Job, Proverbs, what are these? Well, these are poetry. Say, all right, I know a little bit about poetry. It doesn't seem to rhyme. What's wrong with this poem? Well, it's important to know a little bit about the historical situation. Hebrew poetry is different than English poetry, even though some English poems don't rhyme either. I know lots of them don't, and that's fine. But what do we know about poetry? Well, the key idea is each line in Hebrew poetry relates to the line below it. Sometimes, usually it's a couplet, one line, then the other line. Sometimes they say the same thing. Sometimes they're contrasting couplets. Sometimes there's line one and line two builds on what line one said. But you basically interpret them by reading them together and try to figure out how they do it. So if you read one of the Psalms, you may be surprised. As you're reading along, you go, wait a minute, this verse, the first line, and then the second line kind of says the exact same thing as the first line with just slightly different words. There's a lot of emotional language and imagery in the poetic sections of scripture. Another genre of scripture is the epistles. What are the epistles? The old joke I heard in Bible college is that the epistles were the apostles' wives, but that is not true. Epistle just means letter. They're the letters of the mostly apostles written to early church, like the apostle Paul on one of his missionary journeys wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. So we have that as the book of Ephesians. Well, it's important to know this is just straight teaching. In fact, the epistles are often the quickest application to our situation as New Testament Christians in local church situations. Turns out, nothing new under the sun. Some of the very same issues that they were having in Philippi, as Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, and even some of the letters Paul wrote to pastoral assistants and pastoral leaders like Timothy and Titus. It's like, wow. These are so relevant. Oh, yeah, of course, they're inspired by God to be relevant at all times and all places throughout the ages, because that's what God's word does. Well, that's good to know. Another genre of scripture is the apocalyptic genre. And here you've got sections of Daniel and, of course, the book of Revelation. Lots of symbolism going on there. And you just want to read that thing knowing that that it's definitely got a clear message. There is a literal message to it, but there's a lot of symbolism. It's kind of some of the same ideas as some of the poetic literature as it's talking about what is going to be coming. All right. So in addition to knowing a little bit about the flow, knowing a little bit about the genres, which genre am I in the Bible? If we're going to develop a working knowledge of the Bible, we have to have some sense of the culture and history of the situation. Now, I gave you that example of the situation in Ephesus. Ephesus is a real city on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. It's got some of the best ruins in all of the ancient world. If you ever have an opportunity to visit that, that is a great place to go. Well, knowing a little bit about the historical situation is going to help you understand the Bible. And then as you understand it, you're going to be able to put it into practice. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about developing a working knowledge of the Bible. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God. but everything we read is part of God working out his plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. This is John Kratz filling in for Todd today. And we have been talking about developing a working knowledge of the Bible. I was thinking about Mark chapter 2, when a group of people climbed up on a roof and lowered their paralytic friend through the roof. Well, you need to know a little bit about the historic situation, because if you think, oh, if a group of people climbed up on my roof, I don't think that would go very well with the pitch of the roof and the nature of the construction. How in the world could somebody lower a paralytic through the roof and that not get stuck up in the rafters of the attic? But in Bible times, the roofs were flat and often had logs and branches and clay, and then some palm branches on top of that to keep the water out. Well, you could actually move those branches, dig up the clay tiles, and you really could lower your friend through the flat roof. They often had little staircases on the side of the houses as well, so that they could use the space on the roof for storage or to be up there on a hot day, have a little picnic on the porch, you know, that kind of thing. And so knowing a little bit about that is just going to help you be a better reader. Being a careful reader is so important. Some people think of the Bible as this mystical book. Well, read it like you would read any book. You're going to find all kinds of things in the Bible as you read it. But the more careful you are paying attention to the flow of context, right? So earlier, I encouraged you to take a book of the Bible and read straight through it. Or to use John MacArthur's method, read straight through the same book of the Bible for 30 days in a row. That would really give you a better understanding of that book of the Bible. Well, as you do that, you're gonna notice the flow of the context. You don't just want to pick and choose thoughts and ideas randomly. They fit into the flow. Paul is writing a real letter to a real church, and this part comes before that part. I mean, we've been using the illustration of the book of Ephesians. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, there's a big therefore. And that is a hinge that connects what he's been talking about in 1 through 3 to what he's about to talk about in 4 through 6. He's going to talk about walking worthy of the calling that you have. Well, chapters 1 through 3 are all about our great salvation in Christ. And now here's what you do about understanding our great salvation in Christ. So if you don't have the flow, you could just take chapters 4, 5, and 6 as kind of a list of rules, because there's a lot of commands in those chapters that Paul gives to the Ephesian church. But if you recognize that it's based thoroughly upon the foundation of the gospel indicatives, so what's true about you in your great salvation, now here's what you do about it in chapters 4, 5, and 6. The flow becomes really important. Now, it's good to know some of the basic tools as you're developing a working knowledge of the Bible. One time when Carissa, our oldest daughter, was younger, she asked me a Bible question. Dad, what does the Bible say about, I don't even remember, I think it was about love or something like that. And I thought, okay, I've got a minute here. I could tell her a verse or two and give her a little summary of that. Or I could show her in her Bible that in the back of the Bible, there is a concordance, which shows some of the key references to some of the key words, like the word love, and where it shows up in the Bible. And if she looks up those verses herself, she's actually going to get a better understanding of what the Bible has to say about this topic. So a concordance can be really helpful. And you can imagine if you combine the effects here, you're learning the book of Ephesians because you're reading it every day for 30 days. And now you see it show up in a concordance. You're like, oh yeah, that was In fact, God's love, that was in the second section. It's actually in the first section of Ephesians as well. Okay, I can see how God's love leads to my love and the need to show love to other people. That's great. So another great way to get a working knowledge of the Bible is to read the Bible with other Bible readers, especially other skillful Bible readers. Earlier, I told you that the plan for the church is that the pastors and spiritual leaders would be player coaches. In other words, they better be people who know their Bibles and know how to put it into practice. What if you got together with one of your spiritual leaders? Maybe it's a small group leader, maybe it's one of your elders or your pastor, and you said, could we read the Bible together? And as you read it, maybe you read a paragraph, I read a paragraph, and go back and forth, you can kind of compare notes. You can actually do this separately, by the way. You could take a good spiritual friend and say, hey, you read Ephesians 1, I'll read Ephesians 1, and let's get together for coffee on Friday, and let's compare notes. And guess what will happen? You will have found things they didn't find. They will have found things you didn't find. You both will have found some great insights. And now, together, you will know more than you did before. And then you can even talk about ways to put this truth into practice. That's going to be great. Another way that you can grow in developing a working knowledge of the Bible is to summarize each chapter of the Bible in 6 words or less. What's magic about 6 words or less? I don't know. I heard it from somebody else. But I think it's beneficial because it does force you to say, what's this thing talking about? What's the one thing that the whole thing is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1? And if you can smush it down to 6 words or less, you are going to know that chapter better than you did. Another way to develop a working knowledge of the Bible is to listen to good sermons. Sermons that do walk through books of the Bible, pay attention to the context, explain the passage in context, and then apply it. So imagine you've read the book of Ephesians. You and your friend have talked about it. You've summarized each chapter in 6 words or less. And now you listen to a series of sermons by a great Bible teacher, and you go, this is incredible. Number one, I could have anticipated a couple of those things. And then number two, I learned some things I had missed before because the Bible is so deep and so rich. There's so much to it. A bad sermon is not going to help you. One that doesn't use the Bible, where the teacher or preacher just tells some fun stories or that sort of thing, that's not going to be helpful at all. Obviously, there are entire books that have been written by wonderful Bible teachers to help you understand the individual books of the Bible and the books of the Bible as a whole. You can also benefit from going through a book or a resource on hermeneutics. Our friend Todd has a book called Herman Who, which is going to give you some foundational material about how to understand and interpret the Bible, which is kind of what we've been talking about today. Another benefit of going through the Bible together with others, maybe a spiritual leader, is you could actually work on a sample issue together. Earlier, I talked about a contentious political election approaching, and you were all upset by this, but it can be any issue. And then I showed how just taking one dose of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, which talks about the comprehensive plan of God and God working together all things according to the counsel of his will, it changes your perspective completely about that upcoming election. Well, if you take your friend and your coffee time with your friend and you start thinking about some issues that are going on, especially if there are real issues going on in each one of your lives, and then talk about what you've been studying, how it directly impacts your thinking, your understanding, or maybe your obedience to your current crisis, that is going to build the fiber of your muscles in developing a working knowledge of the Bible. And the more you do this, the more useful you will be to the kingdom. When we gather together as a church family, we are not just gathering together to watch the show. The Bible says we gather to stir one another up to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near, as you see the day drawing near. So you're not just a spectator, you are a participant. How are you a participant? Speaking God's truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. The more you know your Bible, the better weapon you will be in the Lord's hand, the better tool you will be in the Lord's hand, the instrument to serve your King. And that's what Todd tells us to do every day. That's what I'm going to tell you to do now. Go serve your King.